Amen. Amen and amen. If you can kneel, let's please do so. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this Sabbath day. Thank you for all the blessings in it and the ones that are going to be in it in a few moments when we start sharing the praises. Thank you for your presence being made known and for the forgiveness of our sins and the cleansing from all unrighteousness that is ours when we confess and repent, as 1 John 1:9 says. Thank you for blessing us also with wisdom, faith, discernment, courage, everything that we're going to need. Because the days are upon us, Father, that it's getting a little dangerous out there. And we know this is nothing compared to what it's going to be like. But we do see the signs because we are in your word, and we thank you for that. Please bless us with opportunities to share our faith with others that aren't in the word so that they too can get ready. And thank you for blessing us with that rain that we're desperately going to need to glorify you like no other in the history of mankind. Please bridle my tongue and any tongue that speaks today, and bless us with understanding from that which we hear from your word, and that's what we hear from the testimonies as well later on. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior, our King, our Lord, our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. Okay. The volume's okay on the mic, because I moved it a little bit, or the gain anyway. Let me get this fan going. You might hear that cat chirp every now and then behind me. He's getting a little bit of a mean mood this morning. So, okay, good. All right. If you want to follow along, you know where the notes are. They're underneath the chat room. It seems people are still straddling in. So, okay, so we're on number 18. And the question is, the first identifying mark of the remnant when they appear after 1798 is that they keep what? And Revelation 12:17 says, thank you, Brother Gorin. It says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. As we all know, we are that peculiar people that keep the Ten Commandments, and have the testimony of Jesus. I won't get into the testimony, as we will discuss that when we get to question number 21, but I'd like to touch on the keeping of the law. You know, too often people of the world use the same old dried-out excuse that we're trying to build a stairway to heaven by keeping the commandments of God. You know, we're saved by works and all this other stuff, even though, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this, Roman Catholics have a tendency to bring that up a lot, even though the Roman Catholic theology is salvation by works. And then they accuse us of salvation by works, which means they're actually saying, what we're doing is wrong, but you're doing it wrong too, you know. But they don't catch that, because when you live the lie, you know, you can't see or hear the truth. But since it was written in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. In other words, there's nothing you can do. It's a gift. And it even says, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And one thing I've always noticed is how they fail to read the next verse so as to keep their deception well fueled. It says in Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And what is Paul talking about when he says we are ordained to walk in them, or walk into good works? Well, the Apostle John says in 2 John 1:6, he says, and this is love, that you walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. See, that's a verse that you're not going to hear from Sunday keeping pulpits or, well, just about anybody, actually. Because in admits, it says clearly that the, it's talking about the law from the beginning, the Ten Commandments. I mean, looking back a few thousand years, and one that has read the Bible can tell you, mankind failed miserably to keep the promise with God, to keep his law right before Moses went to the mountain to get those tablets that the first time. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't up there, too long before they started committing all sorts of sin. And so, as it was prophesied in Jeremiah and echoed in Hebrews 8:10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, that I'll put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And see, this is the problem that they have with us. And this is why they'll attack you, and the devil does what he can. And when they attack and they make these slurs and these crazy statements, we know what it says in the book of Titus about the law and how foolishness it is. I mean, back in the day when Titus was written, if anybody said you shouldn't keep the law, it would just be considered a foolish statement. Today, it's actually theology. That's how far off the path everybody's gotten. But they're ridiculing the people, and you got to understand, again, like I was saying, don't really let it get to you. I mean, remember what Jesus said when he's on the cross, forgive them for they know not what they do, or what Stephen says, when they were stoning him, hold this sin not against them. They really don't understand. The demon speaks through them. I mean, you can see this really clearly with the homosexual community waving the rainbow flag. They have no idea that rainbow signifies the last straw that brought upon the flood, and that last straw was homosexual marriage being legalized. They don't know that. The demons in them do, but that's it. And so when they go about their, trying to say that now you're trying to, get to heaven by building a stairway, by your works and stuff like that, they don't realize that they're allowing the Satan speak through them, because the devil knows that we're not keeping the Ten Commandments to get saved. We're keeping them because we are saved. And he don't like that. And so he'll try to push the envelope and try to, generate the guilt and stuff like that. And it'll make some people confused too. When the Holy Spirit moves them to start keeping the law, they get all confused because someone walks up and says, you don't have to keep the law. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 16 to 20, you shall know them by their fruits. I mean, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. In other words, like I said a minute ago, we don't keep the Ten Commandments to get saved because no man can. We saw that as absolute evidence. We saw that as the reasons for the new covenant. I mean, the covenant between God and man didn't change on his end. The promise is still there. If you keep his law, he'll bless you. But it changed on our end. We're still, some people can't see the change, but it is there. I mean, we still have to keep it. But since we've proven we can't, he is going to help us keep it. And that's why he said, I'll put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And the devil don't like that either. So again, we keep the Ten Commandments because we are saved, and being as such, the promise applies that he will help us keep his law by writing it on our mind and in our hearts. That little birdie just stopped by. Oh, okay. They're, that's part of my praise today. I'll share it later. What's going on outside my window here is pretty neat. So, he is our true God. And we are his true people. This, you know, by their fruits. I mean, it's obvious. Okay. And so when someone we meet says they are a Christian, we are to be fruit inspectors, especially in these last days, and especially when we're running. You know, one of the advantages of the Mark of the Beast not being a tattoo, okay, because a lot of people seem to think it's a tattoo or a mark on the skin or something or a computer chip and all that, because even if it was a computer chip, it's hidden under the skin, but hey, with today's technology, sure, I can handle a scanner in my pocket. And so if we were running for the hills and somebody comes up and claims to be a Christian, I could pull that scanner out of my back pocket and run it past their right hand or their forehead and say, and if it goes beep, 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 they're lying. But it isn't a chip. And so carrying a scanner is going to be useless. It's a decision. And so they can infiltrate just like anybody else. They're not going to walk up with 3 6s stamped on their forehead like the Hell's Angels have been doing for decades. And so a real Christian will keep the law, because the Holy Spirit in them compels them to do so. And so we are the fruit inspectors. Now, yes, I understand clearly that we are judged, we're only judged by the light we understand. And so there's a lot of people out there that are Sunday keepers that will make it home. There's even Catholics that are going to make it home, especially when you get away from American Catholicism. And you get into the, you know, the third world kind of thing where they have a devotion and a zeal towards God. And that's why it's so easy to reach them out there. You know, it's a whole different world. I mean, it's not so busy as it is here. We were talking about that last night. But you can actually talk with them and share with them. And their zeal is such that they really want to please God. And when they find out they're not, and they're doing the exact opposite of what his Bible says, it's pretty easy to see how... You know, it, like here in the States, you might get 1 out of 10. Out there, you would get 5 out of 10, I would think. It's a lot easier. Still not going to get them all, because some people are just too happy in their sin. But again, a real Christian keeps the law. And it's not because we have to, but even though we have to, it's because the Holy Spirit moves us to do so. And there's that fruit that you got to look for. But again, until... the censure drops in the investigative judgment until plague number one begins, they still have a chance to repent and be part of our number. And so you can't judge them unworthy because you don't know their heart. The Lord does. He knows where they understand and where they don't understand. But when that loud cry goes forth, some of us have already seen this. And the Lord has revealed certain things to us in regards to how the message will go forth. And they're going to have no doubt in their mind that what you're saying is absolute. And they will have to make a decision. And that angel with the inkhorn is going to be standing right there when they're doing it. Because the angel also knows who's speaking through you. And he also knows the words you're sharing are exactly designed to cut their hearts. Because the Holy Spirit that's in us also knows what they need to hear. And so they're going to have no doubt. It's going to be a wonderful time. You're going to see an influx into the church that's going to be amazing. And of course, mostly underground, because we're not going to be very popular. It's you know, once that loud cry goes forth, they're going to enforce Sunday laws to try to shut us up. So it's, you know, but still, the floodgates are going to be open, and they're going to be joining us. But then so are the infiltrators. And so this is why you got to stay in the Word. You got to fine-tune your discernment and your wisdom. But mostly discernment. That one goes with the other. So, but those that claim, you know, this is how easy it is. Like in today's world. In today's world, you have to put up the guard. And even though you know you can't judge them because the Lord knows whether they're really a Christian or not, yet they don't understand all, you know, because they're only going to be judged by the light they understand. When they come to you now and you ask them, are you a Christian? I always like to, and I don't jump on it and say, okay, what day of the week is Sabbath? I'll just ask them what their denomination is. Because that'll tell you right there. If they say anything but SDA, you know they keep Sunday holy. And if they say SDA, you know they're in apostasy. And so, and if they're Muslim and all this other stuff, that you don't even have to ask their denomination. You're going to know that just by looking at them. So, those that claim Christ Lord today, before the censor drops, those that claim Christ Lord now, yet refuse to keep his law or claim it was abolished on Calvary, these are they that will claim to have grapes when in fact they only have thorns. These aren't Christians, Bible Christians. Now, they are people that we can work with and try to reveal the truth to them, and they may understand it. But for the most part, they're going to look at you kind of strange. I mean, I've tried it out here. There's a family that lives down the road. Their son, I was really close with him for a few years, and we had many, many conversations on the phone. And he just would not believe it. And he mostly wanted to steer the talking away from the law and to go into the secret rapture stuff, because he believed that. And but they're going to do what they can to try to manipulate the conversation and let them, to some extent, you know. But still keep that seed, you know, keep planting those seeds as best you can. All right, let's go to number 19 here. I think we can get through this one today. The question is, should we look for them to be keeping all 10 of the commandments, including the one about the Sabbath? And James chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." I actually did a page on the website some years ago called "If You Break One, You Break All Ten," or something like that. I don't know. I think I made a video on it, too. I don't remember. But to summarize it, when you break one of his commandments, you are not allowing him to be Lord of your life at all. If you just break one, and it doesn't have to be number four either. Now, you could just be a liar or a thief or an adulterer. You could dishonor your parents. I mean, or you can just blaspheme or bow in front of some statue. I mean, we know there's 10 of them, so I'm not going to go through all of them. And sure, there are a lot of people out there claiming to be Christians who would never lie, steal, take the Lord's name in vain, or even kill, just to name a few of the laws. But they all repeatedly break commandment number 4 by claiming the Sabbath is Sunday. Now, yes, I'm, like I said a minute ago, I'm very aware the Lord only judges us by the light we're given, and so many Sunday-keeping people over the centuries will be in heaven because they had no clue that the Vatican changed the Sabbath to Sunday without any biblical authority. And when you think about it, there are no doubt billions of people in the graves that never even saw a Bible in their entire lives because the Vatican translated the Bibles into Latin and then chained the Bibles on tall pulpits to prevent anyone from discovering the truth about all this. And I say tall pulpits because I did some research on this many years ago. I never put it on the site. It's just one of those little trivial kind of things, little bits in history. But the reason they would put it on a tall pulpit is because the pews were all nailed down. The throne for the priest was nailed down. The altar, well, that's just too heavy. The pulpit would be all by itself with nothing to stand on next to it. Unless you brought a stool in there with you, and it wasn't like people had access to a lot of things back then, because the word economy, as far as I can see, was just something that they were, you know, thinking about building in the future, because, you know, it in most areas, you didn't even have cash or coin. Everything was bartered, and so most people were poor, and so a stool... I mean, look in the scriptures in regards to the guy with the axe that had the float because he borrowed it. That axe would cost so much that it would cause hardship on the family to try to make up for that lost axe. And so the prophet of God prayed and the thing floated. And everything worked out. But try to read the Bible in Latin, no less, which is a dead language. No one speaks it. It's just totally made up. In today's world, anyway. You got to be on. If you're a tall guy, you might be able to get away with it if you stand on your tiptoes. But the odds are, they would make it just tall enough to. And how? And it was mostly there for show, because even the priest couldn't reach it. He would carry one, of course, and act like he's reading from it. And so the Lord's not going to judge them for breaking the Sabbath commandment when all they knew was to keep Sunday holy, thanks to the lying priests and popes. And like I was saying earlier about the third world countries, like with the Philippines or even Mexico, where the zeal of the Roman Catholics is very obvious. And I'm talking the calm ones. I'm not talking the drug lords and all these criminals. I mean, it's amazing how they can be so bone evil and still consider themselves heaven bound. Well, then to get the Muslims, or it's the same thing. So, but they really, honestly, you know, the calm ones, you know, the gentle Mexicans or the gentle Filipinos and stuff like that, that honestly, truly, deep in their hearts, or even the Americans and stuff like that, that honestly, truly believe in their hearts that Sunday was the Sabbath because that's all they understood. They tried reading the Bible and they couldn't understand it because of disobedience or whatever thing. But then Martin Luther came on the scene. You know, there you got the 6 hour. And he translated the Latin Bible into German. And by the time we came to our end time generation, the Bible has been translated into every language known to man. Still, some people are very lazy and they don't open that book for some strange reason. Or some just don't have proper education to even read it. And so there are still some alive today that have yet to realize they're in sin. It's one of the reasons the loud cry is so loud. It's going to go in areas where, for all intents and purposes, they never would have heard it before. Everything from inner cities to magistrates. I mean, there was a reason Agrippa, you know, had an audience with the apostle, as well as Pilate. Instead of walking away saying, what is truth, he should have sat there and listened a little bit. And so some of us will be put in front of judges, magistrates or whatever, because they've never heard what we have to share before. And like Herod, they might be, you know, a little bit curious. Because he wanted to, see this Jesus and make sure it wasn't John the Baptist resurrected or whatever. I mean, he was very interested in him. As are some of the magistrates going to be in the days that, you know, they're hunting us down. Because they're going to hear about the miracles. They're going to know about the healings. They're going to know about the mass exodus from all the other churches. They're going to know about the zeal of God's people and how it's a big difference compared to what the other people that claim to be Christians act like. But yet we'll be called extremists and radicals and everything else like that. That's just words. Yeah. So again, the Lord's not going to judge them until he knows they purposely deny his word as worth reading. Or they hear what we preach when that time comes and choose to deny a clear, thus saith the Lord. Because that angel with the inkhorn standing there. I mean, after all, as the loud cry gets louder, many people will be given the final choice, and the Lord will know perfectly if they're understood or not anyway. And when we are moved to go forth with absolute truth on our lips, wherein the law of God is declared in perfection, and the people have no choice but to understand it, they can act as if they don't understand all they want. I mean, I've seen that for years. Shocked a couple of times, in fact, in regards to some prayers being answered with, I mentioned before, the young man with the concrete situation here with the gnats. I mean, some people just act like, okay, thanks, yeah, okay, walk away. And it affect them like a ton of golden bricks from heaven. But they don't show it. The Lord will read their hearts, and he'll know whether they're lying or not, so as to prevent issues in their lives brought on by obeying, you know, God over men and, you know, money that they worship. I mean, it's then the Lord will know who are his people and who are soldiers in the camp of his enemy. I mean, for the last 6,000 years, Satan's purpose has been to overthrow the law of God. And he will do so using craft. He knows he can get many to break one or more commandments by painting them in an abolished or unimportant light. This is why the name of Christ has become a curse word for some people. Many people actually murder other people in their hearts using just, you know, hatred. Or billions commit adultery by simply watching porn, and lying has become a religion for some people. I can go on sharing all Ten Commandments and how they are belittled by modern mindsets, but I believe you get my point. I mean, worst of all, Satan knows all too well about what James penned about breaking one commandment actually means you break them all. And so he allows those that claim to be Christian embrace 9 of the Ten Commandments because they all declare Christians don't kill. You know, they don't lie, steal, or take the Lord's name in vain, right? But moving Rome to hide the word from their forefathers has brought billions to a point wherein Sunday is literally believed to be the Sabbath simply because so many of their past loved ones have embraced it as such. And so they were carrying on this lie with faith in the lie, just as Christian carries on the truth with faith in the truth. I know, man, because like when Fran and I, you know, first left the Roman Catholic Church, we were, you know, some people would call zealous, I guess. And when I first started running across SDAs, they were saying that I keep Sunday like most Sabbath keepers keep the Sabbath. I really didn't understand that. I said, you know, why? How can there be 2 days? But it is for these souls and many others that we are called to do this final work. And I pray all of us take advantage of performing it at every turn, because the basic reality is this. We stand with the living God, and they stand with a dying God, who can only offer stone and wooden idols that Elijah proved long ago can't hear a single prayer. I mean, they tried all day long. They were even cutting themselves where blood was pouring out, and they could not get their false gods to do thing one. They literally stand defenseless against the obedient child of God, and Satan knows it, and so expect the trials to intensify, and expect the temptation of desire to continue, whatever that temptation is. Satan wants to weaken us to a point we refuse to step up and help those in need of salvation find their way out of Satan's trophy case. But that's our duty. That's the Great Commission. We're to go forth and proclaim it so that they can get out of the case and jump into the arms of our precious Lord, King, and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray that you are blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.